So I'm ranging him as he's coming towards me, and he's giving me a frontal shot at 60 yards right now. I don't want to take a frontal shot on a freaking moose, right?
60 yards, never.
60 yards, right? And I'm like, oh, please let this happen, right? So Connor, he grunted one more time. And he just took two more steps, and he turned, not broadside, but quartering too. And I'm like, now, so you got a picture. The trees are so thick, and I'm like looking through a window. If he goes any more to the right, I won't be able to shoot him.
Okay.
So like, he's at the edge of where I can shoot him right now. So I'm like, it's now or never. Drew back, set the pin, shot. See the arrow go exactly where it does, and it came flying out the other side.
So she's running towards me with the calf, looking straight at us. Mm-hmm. And then she gets like 40 yards, stops, does that little like peaky looking thing. And she's calling, like she's talking.
Yeah, she's looking. Well, yeah, she's looking for the calf to shoot.
And then she looks and she goes to my right. But as she's doing that, here comes the rest of the freaking crew coming down that same path. And now I have ones that are coming down through 30-yard one to my left. And they're all meeting up together, and they're coming. And now they're all following her. They're going to the 40 yards. I kind of froze, and I was like, I wish I didn't, but there's so many eyes. It's like, if you took one step, boom, I think they were gonna scatter. So they start going, they're almost all the way up around this, kind of like, it goes like around, and then it's like a little hill. So the second they got around, they wouldn't be able to see us because I was kind of like below in this like little creek area. But I think this is what happened, is that my wind was going that way. And one of the cows, like, because it, so it kind of like went over the ridge and they smelt it. Not only now that the freaking 80 head went that way to my right, now they all start heading back towards where they were coming from. So now they're coming back. After like a minute of calling, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start like raking the tree. But I couldn't find the freaking stick.
That's why people make fun of me for carrying that shit around.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't find one. And that was weird because
you never find a good stick when you need it.
Oh, they're always breaking in my hand. So I'm like, oh, let me just, I see the tree dead on the ground, and I grab the branch and I break it off. Mm-hmm. Snap the thing off, and I start beating the crap out of this freaking tree. Yeah. On the third freaking like whack, I'm getting attacked by
bees.
Not bees. Oh, hornets? They were freaking hornets.
Hey guys, real quick before we get into this episode, I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, go give us a review on iTunes. I can't stress it enough. It's really, really important for me to help keep this free and to help me keep it going. Next, get involved with your hunting rights. Go join Howlful Wildlife. Super simple. It takes a couple minutes. You can even do the free membership. I don't care, but be involved. Lastly, I want you to do yourself a favor and up your shooting game and go get you some Phoenix shooting bags. Use promo code John Stallone to save 20%. That's all I got for you. Let's get into this episode. Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. I got Mr. Phoenix Shooting Bags with us.
What's going on, John?
Not much, man. So got a little kind of recap episode today, but we're going to break it down as onto some of the things that we noticed that we might have done right or we might have done wrong during these hunts to help you kind of like decipher, you know, using our experience to the experiences that we had, not our experience, but the experience that we just had, to analyze what, you know, maybe what we could have did better or what we could have done differently, whatever.
And maybe those top guys chime in and tell me like what I could have done to make things better. I mean, I was freaking in elk all day long. Yeah. Every day from the start, it was probably one of the best elk hunts of my life. But
yeah, we're gonna have Jermaine on.
Yeah, maybe he could answer some of the questions.
We're gonna call him here in about 10 minutes. So,
but tell me about your. I want to hear real quick about your moose hunt, because that freaking hunt. I mean, listen, you have some tough hunts. 10 days not going out and this and that and whatever, and not getting things, and then on this hunt, can I like spill the beans a little bit?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, all right. I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to take the win.
You're going to take the win. You're there for 10 minutes and you get it done. So, yeah. I mean, walk us through the whole hunt, because this is so awesome because not many people go on a hunt. I mean, you do your homework and whatnot, but to get lucky like that, I mean, yeah, you need to get a bone.
Sometimes it just goes right.
Yeah, exactly. But I like those.
let me lay out the whole thing. Well, first off, I think that was my 17th year or 16th year applying for moose in Montana. I had even with 16 or 17 points, I think it was 1.5% chance of drawing the tag. So, and I had been putting in for this unit for, I don't know, probably the last 10 years or so. 10 years ago, this unit was one of the primo units in Montana. Now, because of wolves and because of grizzly bears, and they say because of some brain worm, but everybody I talked to over there said that's all BS. But the moose numbers are super low, like ridiculously low. So I drew this tag. I didn't even know I drew it.
I know. I just heard it on the last podcast.
Yeah, that's right. It was and actually the dates were wrong because I was in New York in July 1st. So it was when I got back from New York that I figured out that I had the tag. So it was probably the second week of July. So it was very late in the game. My phone reminded me it was time for me to buy bonus points for Montana because I didn't apply for elk and deer there this year. And when I went on there, it said I had an unpaid bill. So when I found that, first off, I was super excited. I got the tag. So I started calling her. But first, actually, my first phone call was to Remy Warren. I called Remy. I'm like, Rem, dude, I know you live in Montana. I know you guide there. I said, you know, and we talked. He couldn't guide me there. I was actually even going to think, I was even thinking about just having him guide me or have his outfit guide me. That's not necessarily him. But he's like, listen, I can't guide there because they have concessions. It's like, you know, they can only guide in permitted areas that they're allowed to guide in. And he's like, I don't have that unit. But he goes, I got a friend who lives up there. You know, if you want, I'll talk to him. He'd probably go out and go look for moose for you, get you some intel. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I put that in my back pocket. My next call was to Jason Matzinger, because also from Montana. And I called Willie Schmidt too. And I called, you know, I called the three. And Willie, and actually Jason hooked me up with, I guess, I forgot who it was. I think it was the vice president or the president of Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation had that tag 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. And I spoke to him. He gave me some intel. He hooked me up with a guy who works for Forest Service over there. So I started gathering some intel, but I'm like, everyone and everybody I talked to was like, they were just giving me gloom and doom. Don't expect to even see a moose every day. You might go 5 days. I actually talked to a guy who had the tag there the year before, hunted 10 days and never even saw a legal bull. And I was like, oh shit, this is not good. Of course, me. I'm going to draw the tag. Finally, it's, you know how things, if you don't keep up, like you get into a rut, you start keeping up.
Yeah.
You start putting in and you don't realize that unit has dropped off or whatever. So now I'm like, well, I'm going to start calling outfitters. Every outfitter I talked to, first off, it was late in the game. So the one guy that actually was confident about guiding moose in the area, he didn't have anybody for me. He's like, I don't have any guides. I don't have any availability for you. Turns out that one of the guys that guides for him for birds and for bear, and I think whitetail maybe, this guy Seth, started his own business a couple years ago called Yak River Outfitters also. And he's actually one of the people that I sent an email to, but I hadn't heard back from him yet. And then I spoke with him. And we talked, and I liked him right off the bat. He was like a really nice guy. He was really up for it. He's like, listen, you know, I see moose all the time. I'm not a moose guide, you know, da, 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 da. And he's like, but I have a guy that could potentially guide for me to do this. I'm like, okay. So,
your time is running out. So you got to find somebody. And
I'm like, at this point, I'm desperate. Like, shit, I got it. I have my elk hunt in Colorado, which I waited 7 years to draw that tag. And I made plans with Jermaine, and which we'll talk about later here. Anyway, so I'm like, man, I don't want to squander this tag. So I'm like, screw it. I mean, at this point, in my head, I'm thinking, the guy's got a cabin for me to stay in, right? He knows the area. He knows where he's seen moose. It's better for me to do that, right?
Yeah, like even if you go by yourself, you're gonna spend more time just trying to figure it out.
It was gonna cost me almost the same amount of money. Like, yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm gonna go get this, I'm gonna be here. I wasn't definitely not gonna solo hunt or solo, you know, camp out with grizzlies and wolves and stuff. You know, that's like not my thing. But so I'm like, all right, whatever. But he takes like 3-4 weeks to even get me a contract. And it turns out, I find out later, that he didn't want to book me unless he was 100% sure that the guy that he
thought was
great, but at the same time was kind of left hanging for a while. It's like, oh man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know, you know? And so I'm still kind of gathering intel and, you know, cyber scouting, whatever. And finally, so he connects me with Connor. Connor is an Alaskan moose guide. He guides moose in Alaska. He's never guided moose in Montana, but he knows the area because he black bear hunts there, and he's hunted elk there before for himself. So now I got an outfitter that kind of knows where moose are at. I got a guide that kind of knows the area, but knows really goes.
So he knows moose really well.
Right? So I'm like, all right, whatever. I feel a lot better about the situation, but I'm still not like, okay, you know?
Yeah, nobody's saying, oh, I got these.
The day before I get a call from Connor and we're talking, he's like, man, he gave me like the gloom and doom story. I was like, dude, I looked at my wife. I'm like, because I had him on speaker. I'm like, I don't even know if I should go. I can't even turn the tag back in because technically the hunt already started.
Okay.
So now it's like, I can't even turn the tag back in. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. I'm going to make the best of it. Well, I show up there and I guess Seth, the owner of Yak River, he put out a couple. First, he got a beautiful place, beautiful cabin, awesome stuff. And he put some trail cameras out. They showed me a little bull moose. Not little, but like a 30-inch bull moose. Like, you know, maybe you might shoot that, like right on the cusp. He's a legal bull.
Okay.
So, and Connor had went out bear hunting and he had seen two moose just driving. So okay. He's like, all right. He's like, he's starting to feel a little bit better about the thing. And he's like, I saw where they had the camera, there was a cow and a small bull on the camera. And right, not too far from there, I think that's where Connor also saw whatever. So in his head, he's like, I think I'm going to start there where we had that camera. So that first morning we get up, we park the truck like 350 yards from the trailhead. I say trailhead. It's a 50-yard trail that leads down from the road down to a marsh. Okay. Like it's like a marsh that's it's beaver ponds.
Okay.
Okay. So we get there, I get to the trailhead and I hear splashing. I turn around, I look at him and he goes, like he mouths to me like, that's a moose.
Okay.
Like, oh shit.
You're like, all right, I could see.
So we
that.
Take a couple more steps and the cow starts bawling on her own. She's calling. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. I'm like, they're right here. And I hear more splashing, and I'm like, oh, shit. It sounds like there's more of them. Anyway,
you're
so
thinking it's the big bull.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I sneak down like another like 10, 15 yards where I could kind of get through. So I start glassing through the trees, and I see a calf.
Just to let you guys know, John is taking his hands and putting it to his eyes, explaining to me that he's glassing. I got you, John.
Jermaine just texted me. Oh, he said, unfortunately, can't make it. Got caught in a meeting. All right. So cool. We're good. We'll keep going with this.
Okay.
Anyway, so I could give you the longer story anyway. So I glass up the cow and I'm like, I turn to him. I go, it's a cow, you know? And he's like, he gives me the thumbs up. So we just move like another 5 yards and I'm like peeking through the trees. Like it's super thick, bro. Like thick. Like you couldn't.
Like Oregon thick?
Yes. But like. The trees are super tight together.
Okay.
Like you'd have to turn sideways to get in between the trees. Like I don't know how a freaking elk moved through there, like, or a moose for that matter.
Okay.
It's crazy. Anyhow, so I just keep inching my way down and I'm glassing. Now I get where I could see like where the mouth of the trail meets up with the water's edge. And I kind of peer over there and I'm like, I can see the freaking bull. He's 157 yards across the beaver ponds.
So you're going to shoot him at 157 yards.
I thought about it.
No. I had my bow.
I'm just joking.
I did. I did, however, because I brought my rifle too, and I put it in the truck. I did, however, think about turning around and telling him, go get the freaking rifle. You know? Yeah. Like, I almost did that. Almost. And I'm like, nah. We're going to get... Only because this... It was 150 yards worth of water between him and I. I was like, how am I getting to him if we can't call him over? Because now at this point, I'm having a conversation with Connor, and he's like, you know, conversation where it's whispering to each other, whatever. He's like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to call him away from those cows. And I'm thinking to myself, if this was a bull elk, the cows are between us
and him.
Oh, pretend you're a freaking other bull. That's what I mean. I'm thinking this. And I'm like, why don't you rake a tree? And he's like, I'm gonna challenge him. So he starts grunting and he starts raking the tree at the same time. And dude, he came unglued. The bull came unglued. He starts like that rapidly, just kind of and I'm kind of like glassing him, and I see him going away, and I'm like, oh shit, he's going away from us. But I didn't know, he was just making his way to a tree. He was standing in the water.
Oh,
and he was making himself wait.
So you thought he was leaving?
I thought he was leaving.
Yeah, I got you.
And there was another cow behind him, but I couldn't see it, but I could hear her because smashing around back there. And while he's making this noise, the cow comes to the calf.
Okay.
And the bull goes to rake a tree, and he starts beating the shit out of this tree, but just like smashing it up. And I'm like, so I took this opportunity to slide down closer. Now I'm at the mouth, like,
okay,
so I got like another, I don't know, 6-7 yards, whatever. Connor's behind me like 5 yards. We're close, you know. And I start ranging up everything, and I peer around the edge, and the calf is there at like 30 yards. I'm like, oh my god, please come to me, come over here, right? Anyway, so he gets done, and now he's grunting even more. And so Connor grunts back at him and hits the tree again. Dude, the cow starts running towards us across the water.
Okay, wow.
And it was like a scene out of a movie. I am so freaking mad, like you wouldn't even believe how mad I am that I thought about it 3 times. I'm like, let me take my phone out of my pocket and flip it to Connor. Let him freaking film it, or at least turn it on video and stick it right here so you could see me drawing back and you can hear the commotion, because just the sound of it all.
Oh, I know. You know, I was getting the sound just of the elk on that.
I was like, it was so, you know, different. You don't hear moose every day, right? And
I don't think I've ever heard a moose, so I never.
Anyway, so now the cow's coming, right? She crosses over the beaver dam and drops. So it's like, if you could picture like 2 levels.
Okay.
They're only like, I don't know, 3 feet in elevation difference.
So she's coming down, or she's going back up?
She came down over the top berm,
okay,
which is a beaver dam now that I know, because I was, when I, to pack them out, we had to walk across beaver dams. It's kind of a pain in the ass. But anyway, so came over the top, and I dropped down, or she drops down, and she's in the water that's in front of me now. And she comes to this bank. Matter of fact, I got to know, I videoed it specifically to show you. I swear to God, I got to show you the video, the whole thing. But anyway, so she comes and she stops right. I'm like, stop right there. Because if she stops right there, I'm going to get a shot at this bull. I know in my head. She stops right there. I range her up. She's at 50 yards. So I'm like, okay, here we go. He notices that she's coming this way. He freaking leaves the tree, jumps in the water. He's like literally neck high in water. That's how deep it was.
Wow.
Swims across the top pond, climbs over the top of the freaking, over the beaver dam, and does the same loop that she does, but he's like 5 yards further back.
Okay.
So I'm ranging him as he's coming towards me, and he's giving me a frontal shot at 60 yards right now. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I don't want to take a frontal shot. I'm a freaking moose, right?
60 yards, now.
60 yards, right? And I'm like, oh, please let this happen, right? So Connor, he grunted one more time. And he just took 2 more steps, and he turned, not broadside, but quartering too. And I'm like, now, so you got a picture. The trees are so thick, and I'm like looking through a window. If he goes any more to the right, I won't be able to shoot him.
Okay.
So like, he's at the edge of where I can shoot him right now. So I'm like, it's now or never. Fucking drew back, set the pin, shot. See the arrow go exactly where it does, and it came flying out the other side. And I was like, pass through. Freaking. So now she runs, and this will make a lot of sense. I wish I could show the viewers the video, but I'm going to show you. But
also, you have her on camera?
No, I got nothing. I videoed it after I got done shooting them, just so I can show you how it all went down. So because I knew I was going to be telling you the story, right? So she runs, the calf ran, and there's another beaver dam to my right where the, like 60, 70 yards to my right.
Okay.
Like 70 yards to my right. And then it goes back and it connects to the main beaver dam that was holding back the water where I told you he swam across.
Okay.
So they run that way and they jump up on this like grassy marsh.
So this is dark right after you shot.
Right after I shot.
Did they see you?
No, they didn't see me.
Oh, they didn't see you. They just heard the noise.
Yeah. They just, and then they stopped right there. And she's in front of him like 20 yards and he stops. Now he's facing somewhat quartering away from me.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. And the opposite direction. So he was facing to the right when I shot him the first time. Now he's facing to my left, but kind of quartering away from me. Well, I sneak around the edge, knock another arrow, and I tell Connor, I said, range for me. Because I wanted to be knocked in.
Oh, I got you.
Be knocked in. We come around and I can't shoot from right there. So I stand up and we go around the edge and I draw back and he says 66 yards. And right when he said that, he turns and he faces me, not faces me, but now he's quartering to me again.
Okay. I got you.
So I anchor, shoot. And when I shoot, he heard the bow go off that time. He jumped forward a little bit. So I hit him. The entrance on the second shot was in the liver and it came out his freaking back hip. Pass through. Another one. I was like, I got to give Bill what Iron Will. I got to give him props, man. That
you got it. It's so funny you just said that because that same shot happened to my buddy on his elk hunt. Mm. And it went straight out the back leg.
Dude, I got to say that I'm shooting the 125 single bevel.
Okay.
With the bleeder.
That's the one that I just bought. I just bought the 100.
I love that head, man. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, last year's bull was a head-on shot. This freaking moose, and I mean, those aren't the only two, but I'm just picking big animals. No,
the big animals, for sure. You want something that's going to cut.
Yeah. Oh, passed through both of them. 66 yards on a moose.
I know, it's crazy.
Through his hip.
Maybe I could get a pass-through with one of these.
Maybe, I don't know. Anthony's got penetration problems. Shit.
Only with the elk.
Yeah.
Not with the
female. No, he's got three kids. But shit. And anyway, so now he runs, jumps in the water, and he basically swims back over to where
he was.
He was. Literally, he did one big circle. And he is standing in the water and facing away from us at 90. Now I'm at like 97 yards or something like that.
Send another one.
I was going to. I couldn't see his body. I could just see the top of his head. Trust me. I mean, at this point, we got two holes in him. Let's throw another one, right?
As many as possible.
So Connor's like, if he gets in those trees, you're not going to be able to shoot again with the bow because thickness. We didn't know how good he was. I mean, I could tell like my first shot was great. The second shot I knew was far back because he jumped. So
at least you got two arrows in him. That's
well,
the main
we
thing.
Didn't want him to get too far thick in there because he's like to get it packed out of that is going to be.
Yeah. But
he was being cautious anyway. So he's like, I'm going to go get your rifle. So he went and got my rifle. I climbed up on top of this log, this deadfall. So I can climb up and I'm glassing him from the top of that. I'm just watching him and he's standing in the water. Now the cow and the calf go back to eating. They didn't give a shit.
They didn't care or nothing.
Nothing
it's
go
like
back
an
to
elk.
Eating.
It's like an elk. They don't care about anything.
They knew that they weren't on the menu, you know? Shit. I was like, what the hell? All right, whatever. So now he starts walking again. I'm like, oh shit, he's going for the tree. So I go, you know, I start doing that with my hands over covering over my nose. I can't do it with the mic in the way, but doing it. And he stops literally where I first glassed him up. He climbed up out of the water and he's standing on that little bank right where I shot him. He turns, he looks in my directions, lays down, and then about 5 seconds later puts his head over. Done.
Oh, so nice.
And I was like,
yes.
This is all before Connor gets back. Connor gets back. I'm like,
so he didn't even see any of that?
Nah.
Did you even videotape?
Nah, freaking out, dude. I was...
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just don't know.
It was so in the moment that I thought about... The only time I thought about it was before the shot I was going to give my
finger. I got you.
And I didn't.
Well, you're probably smart. That's the reason why he killed it.
Yeah. Well, because he probably wouldn't have been able to do the calling and raking and filming and all that shit. Saying that was, you know, whatever. So yeah, he died there. And we're like, oh my God, look at this.
Perfect.
You know.
How long did it take you to skin him and... Do all the
we had and... him packed out. I killed him at 7:15
in the morning.
In the morning.
Oh my God!
And I think we had him packed out of there before 1 o'clock.
Wow!
We went bear hunting that night. I had a bear and a wolf tag too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I should have stayed, but I didn't because
you're smart. You better get back.
Make my wife happy anyway. But yeah. So I bought these things. I don't even know what the hell they're called. He told me to look for these things called Zwiggies or Wiggies. Wiggies. They're like portable waders.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find them on Amazon, and I was leaving in a couple of days when he had told me about them. So I found these, like, they come up to your knee. They're $11. Best $11 I ever spent. Put those things on, and they were toast by the time I got done packing the bowl.
So they look like waders.
They just go over your boots. They're plastic and they zip up and they got like a little strap. And dude, fantastic. Because I had basically knee-high boots. Because the water was going to be over the top of my boot. No matter how waterproof and good, how much time I spent freaking waxing my boots, it's still going to go over the top,
Sure, 100%.
So yeah, we had a... But you had it was a balancing act. You had to like stay on top of the freaking
on the beaver. Top
the beaver dams. So, you know, as the crow flies, it was like 150 yards. But you had to do this big like zigzaggy loop.
Like an S.
So it was probably closer to like 300 yards, which was still
Forget it. Dude, anybody, 300 yards. Nobody's complaining about
that. No complaints. Took six loads of both of us full, and then at the end, his buddy showed up. Who was guiding a bear hunter from, where was the guy from? Some other country, I can't remember now. Anyway, he was bear hunting, and he carried the head, because I had a load of meat. He carried the head, and so six loads in the head, and head and game.
Unreal.
So, yeah, it was, dude. I mean, after the first load, too, we brought the truck over to the...
Closer, yeah.
Yeah, we brought the truck closer to the trailhead. So we didn't have that whole
300 yards.
Yeah, you know, like 350 or something like that. Yeah, it was super. The easiest pack out on a giant animal I could forget. Dude, we try to move him to take pictures.
Impossible.
You should have seen us. It was like.
He weighed? 1,000 pounds? 1,100 pounds? 1,200 pounds?
Probably 12, yeah. 12 or better.
Yeah. So what did he measure out to be?
50 inches and a quarter was his spread, outside spread.
That's huge for that area. That's
the one of the guys from Montana, something or other, I can't remember what, reached out. He's like, that's the biggest bull that was killed.
Yeah.
Especially definitely in region one. So region one's not known for having big bulls anymore.
Uh-huh.
I guess there's some eastern region where you like hunt them on farmland where they get pretty giant.
But listen,
was crazy because you don't know how many. I had 8 bull moose within bow range in Colorado. 8 different bulls.
This
last hunk when I was with Jermaine.
Uh-huh.
And him and I were like, I can't believe how many moose we're running into. It was nuts. Did I show you the video?
No, but Colin actually sent me a video of him with the moose. Actually, Colin shot a monster bull, man.
Yeah, I saw.
Oh my God, so proud of that kid. I love getting photos like that. He's like, I think he said that was one of his biggest bulls yet to date.
Yeah, that's what he texted me. He texted me that too.
That's pretty badass, man.
Yeah, I saw Colin's photo. It was awesome. It was a great bull. Great bull. He's but yeah, no, dude, I got to show you this freaking video. Look at this freaking moose. You want to talk about a moose after having seen this, when I knew not to expect anything like that, but I had a world class bull at 36 yards. Look at this freaking beast.
This is in Colorado.
This is in Colorado.
Holy shit.
36 yards, bro.
Now, how much bigger is this one than the one you shot?
A lot.
This is bigger, a lot bigger than the one you shot?
I mean, width-wise, probably not. He's probably 55, 60 inches.
Wow, pretty badass.
It's a freaking, he looks like an Alaskan moose.
Oh my God.
That is a giant gyrus.
Damn.
Giant gyrus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. Giant paddles.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool looking bull.
The funny thing was, is if I had this tag in Colorado, I definitely wouldn't have shot this bull. You know why? Because I would have shot the four of the bulls beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Not because I seen, yeah, I'm telling you, bro. I seen, like, look at this bull. I saw this bull not even.
Oh, I would have shot him too.
45 minutes before.
Yeah, I would have shot him also, but that's not as good as the other
one. No, wait, he's not even as good as mine. Yeah. But, you know, like, you see these, look at this guy.
Is that one paddle, or is that just turning his head?
It's just the way he has his head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I saw my first moose when I was with Cullen, when we were there, 7 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw my first moose with him when I was up there the first week, just me and him up there hunting. But he's like, oh, we don't see very many moose in this area.
We've seen a couple last year elk hunting.
Yeah.
In Idaho. Yeah. A really big one, actually, right at the river. Big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as big as that video I just showed you, but.
Nah, that was pretty big bull.
He was a big bull.
That was dark, too. Chocolate.
Yeah. But there they are. The body size, you got to show you the video, not the video, but the picture of me holding up one of the legs.
No, that is, I mean.
Look at this thing.
It's probably double a freaking elk, it looks like.
Well, a quarter is like a couple hundred pounds. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
It's as big as I am.
Oh, yeah. It is. Six feet tall.
It's freaking nuts.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of the meat.
Yeah, I know, man. I wanted to cry for you. I don't know how you get this freaking luck of just my whole thing about you going on this whole hunt. I said, what did I say to you? I said, I will pay for some of the meat. I said, listen, I know it's going to be expensive, but I will pay so I could get some of the meat back.
I know.
And John calls me and sends me a text with, I guess, the voicemail of what the guy sends back to him. And I don't know if he wants to play it or whatever, but I wanted to cry for him. I don't know if you want to say it on here.
I want to play it because Seth was devastated. I'm gonna preface this. He's devastated. He's called me 3 times.
Anybody would be devastated, bro. That's
he was so.
It's like a once in a lifetime. You can't go and get the meat at a store, and it's just like it's. I mean, who would ever expect that something like this could happen?
I know. So yesterday, I don't think it was Montana Bulls and Bucks posted my, and
I don't say anybody's name on who, what happened, because you don't want to like.
No. But yeah, I'm just going to tell you a funny story. So he posted something like, great bull and a good shot. What more can you ask for? And I almost texted a cold freezer.
Oh my God.
A cold freezer, ... too soon. just to screw with him. But I was like, no, he's already hurting really bad from this whole thing. I don't want to.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to, it honestly, for the first like 24 hours, it was like, I was not furious because I'm not mad at him. Obviously, he couldn't have foreseen that happening. But
the guy that did the meat.
Yeah. Well, that was the outfitter.
Oh, it was the outfitter?
Yeah, it was Seth. It was his cooler.
He was
doing me a favor holding it there, and then he was going to bring it to the processor for me because they weren't open. Well, not even because they weren't open, because I didn't have enough time too, because I changed my flight. he was going to bring. So like he was already doing me a favor, like, you know.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was a processor. No.
We put everything in his. He had a fridge in the house that wasn't being used, and I mean it was on.
How do you get all that meat in one fridge?
We boned it.
Oh my God.
The only thing that wasn't boned, and matter of fact, that's what he was going to do. We had one quarter that wasn't boned. Everything else we had taken off. He was going back in there to take that off and then bring the meat. So here, I'm going to play it actually.
Hi, John. This is Seth up at Yak River Outfitters. I was hoping to talk to you because I went up to bone out your meat this morning. And when I opened the basement door, it smelled like burnt plastic. And the refrigerator was actually melting. And it spoiled your meat. I went through every piece. And none of it could be salvaged, which I feel just sick about. I wanted to tell you in person, not send you a message. I'm going to be gone this afternoon, the rest of the afternoon and evening. But anyway, I know that there's no way to make it right, but I want to refund some of the money that you paid for the hunt. And tell you that I'm truly sorry. As far as my family's concerned, the meat is the real trophy and the memories, and you won't be getting your meat. So I'm sorry. Please accept my apologies. If you want to give me a call back, I should be available sometime tomorrow evening, Sunday evening. I hope your family's well. Bye-bye.
Oh yeah, so
like, I mean, it must have killed him just to freaking out to call you on that. Because listen to me, on this elk hunt that I was on with this guy, all right, and I'm not naming any name, it's just a friend of mine, and he asked me to help him out. He did not care what kind of bull he got, he didn't care anything, he just wanted the meat. That's all his main focus was, and he wanted to be 25 yards away. Those are my two things. I want the meat, and I want to get 25 yards away. I couldn't get him. I got him sometimes almost close to 25 yards, but just didn't get a shot, and I didn't get him the meat.
Was he shooting a trad bow?
He's shooting, yeah, traditional bow.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I was in bulls from day one. Bro, first day, at least 80 head of elk. Non-stop. I haven't showed you any of these videos, man. If I show you these videos, you're going to be sick.
I mean, you called me a few times where you were like, there's elk 80 yards from us.
I'm like, I can't talk right now. Oh my God. He said he's gone on a couple hunts. Like one, I think once or twice for cow. Never been on a bull hunt. Never had a bull tag. And I knew the unit. And he's like, listen, Just please help me. He goes, you know, he just said, I told him, listen, whatever I make in my work, just pay me what I would make here. I don't want to make any money, but just take care of my gas and whatnot and food. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just, you know, I don't want to lose money not going to work. So he's like, done. He goes, I want you to come with me. And I wanted to go with him. Right. I just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I got my own elk hunt that I got to go to. So he was like, I can't tell you, man. From day one, like smiling from ear to ear. He was practicing with his bowman. This guy was money. Like he took that Joel Turner course because he had, the reason why he doesn't shoot compounds is that target panic, like bad. All the right. Worst I've ever seen in my life. But he could shoot this trad bow. And he's like, listen, as long as I stay within my shot and I'm not, he told me, I am not shooting past 25 yards. He goes, Dad, if I can't get a clean shot at 25 yards, I am not taking it. And I respected it. And I said, listen, I'm going to do my best to get you to, but I'm like, listen, every time I was on my hunt, 40 was like the magic number.
Right.
Like, I'm like, can't you just go to 40? I'm like, just
30. Little... At
least 30. I think if it was at 30, he would have shot. Yeah. But he stuck to his guns. I had this guy, almost every, the only day I did not see an elk, and I'm not throwing this person underneath the bus because he's my favorite person to hunt with, but it was the day Joe came. I love the kid. I mean, we had a blast. He's always fun to hang out with, but that was the only day I did not get him on a bull. Really? Other than that, every day he was in bulls or, you know, we were getting close. But obviously,
yeah,
I would say we hunted for 11 days and at least 8 out of the 11 days, one passes at 40 yards.
Really?
Oh my God. And there's multiple days that I can't tell you, like, we were on top of them. Like, I mean, we could have shot probably like 70 cows. Mm. And I wish he had a cow tag because he did not care. He just wanted the meat. But from day one, we had 40 cows run right past us. I mean, not 40, 80 head of elk and at least probably 11 bulls in this herd. So I'm with Chris, mm-hmm. my buddy Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Who lives over there? Yeah. This was the second day when this, actually, I'm sorry. This was the, was it the first day or the second day? Whatever. His wife came out with us. And early morning, we didn't hear anything. And he goes, all right, I'm going to go to another spot.
His wife had a tag too, right?
She had it last year.
Oh.
And he said last year was even better. And I'm like, better? I'm like, this is so good right now.
Yeah.
But he's like, last year, I guess, was like amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like, it was like double. And it was good.
Did you have your tag last year?
No.
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So.
That's right. That's yeah. right. 2020.
We were together early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we broke up. Mm-hmm. So he went to the right and I went to the left, kind of. He goes, I'm going to go over here. I said, okay, I felt that they were going to come up this like edge where it kind of meets, like there's like three or four paths that come into this one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're going to head there. And this, it was probably like 250 yards from where, kind of where I shot. Mm-hmm. So we head over there and I do this. I don't know. I love the Primo's little cowgirl, little call.
Yeah.
That thing's the freaking best.
Because it sounds like a calf.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a calf sound.
So I said, we got to this point that there was like, I didn't want to get too close, but I wanted to get close enough. Mm-hmm. I should have got too close. Right. So stupid. So dumb. So I let out this sweet three mews.
Yeah.
Right? And not even like, I want to say, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
This cow starts running towards me straight on with the calf coming straight. And we're not talking like 20 yards away. We're talking about 300 yards away.
Right.
Like comes like starts, maybe not 300, maybe like 200 yards away. So coming straight on and then staring right at us.
Yeah.
And the path passes up right by us. If she would have came to the straight path,
yeah,
it would pass us at 2 yards. If she went to the one to the right, that was the one to the 40. The one to the left, that was like 30. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wanted to get, like be in the middle, but it just caught me off guard. Like I didn't think it was going to happen that freaking fast.
Right.
And I always hear people say, oh, make sure before you call, you're like ready. But in this unit, everything is open. You know this. I mean, yeah. It's like, it's open.
Yeah, but I've made it a point because of that. To go at least stand next to a tree or something because I was like,
we were next to a tree.
Okay.
We were next to two trees.
Okay.
Oh, it wasn't, trust me, I'll show you the video later. He just needed to be 20 yards to the next tree.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking in my head now, so wait, let me finish.
Okay. So she's running towards
me. She's running towards me with the calf, looking straight at us. Mm-hmm. And then she gets like 40 yards, stops. Does that little like peeky looking thing. And she's calling, like she's talking.
Yeah, she's looking. Well, yeah, she's looking for the calf this year.
And then she looks and she goes to my right. But as she's doing that, here comes the rest of the freaking crew coming down that same path. And now I have ones that are coming down to the 30-yard one to my left. And they're all meeting up together and they're coming. And now they're all following her. They're going to the 40 yards. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm like... They're looking like you could see a few looking at us, you know, and then some are just following the other ones. And I'm like, what do I do? Like, I kind of want to like say, just
go
walk towards them, like just go, you know. But then I'm like, God, I'm gonna scare. This is the first or second day. I can't remember which day it was. And I'm like, if I do that, then they're gonna just get out of here, and I'm never gonna be able. Like, this is like one of my main spots that I love. So I'm like, oh, maybe just one will just come closer to us.
Yeah.
And if you see this video, no, they kept on all
single file.
Oh my God. They're coming, no, from straight at us to the right, left. I mean, they were coming everywhere.
Right. But all convergent.
Oh my God. It was nuts. I got a spike bull, and he was 35 yards, the spike bull. He's trying to already, he was already trying to breathe another cow. I got it all on video. It's so badass. There's three bulls. One's a 6x6. One's a 5x5, and the other one's like a 6x5, something like that. But good bulls. Like, this guy's like expecting a spike. He don't care. Right. And I'm like, I kind of froze, and I was like, I wish I didn't, but there's so many eyes.
Yeah.
It's like, if you took one step, boom, I think they were gonna scatter.
Yeah.
So they start going, they're almost all the way up around this, kind of like, it goes like around. And then it's like a little hill. So the second they got around, they wouldn't be able to see us because I was kind of like below in this like little creek area.
Right.
But I think this is what happened, is that my wind was going that way. Mm. And one of the cows, like, it kind of like went over the ridge and they smelt it. Not only now that the freaking 80 head went that way to my right, now they all start heading back towards where they were coming from. So now they're coming back. And I'm like, so now I had two opportunities, not one. One when they went to the right, and now one when they went to the left. I swear, you got to see this video. And I'm like, he could have just took one step at a time, 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 and made it to the tree that he needed to be at to get 20 yards closer. And I think we would have got shot, because there was three bulls, and there was like seven or eight, probably even more, because including the spikes.
Yeah,
that he could have shot.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen, because what happened the rest of the week,
yeah,
I was having so much fun. I'm like the best call in the world. Like, I was calling in bulls everywhere. I'm not lying. And I wasn't even using the FX.
Yeah.
Most of the times I was calling me calling, or using that little, the
Calgary.
Yeah, but that thing pissed me the freak off, man.
It freezes up.
Freezes up. I bought a brand new one. Mm-hmm. I gotta talk to Mr. Primo over there. It pissed me off. Opened the package, and I'm blowing nothing. Nothing coming. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Just open this package, because the other one froze up. So that was my favorite call, because that thing works. When it works, it works.
Right.
So whatever, I got back to camp, cleaned the whole freaking thing out, washed it with the water, you know, whatever. But the other one still hasn't worked. The brand new one, I took it apart, still hasn't worked. Hmm. So that one's in the garbage. And that other thing that I bought.
I've had that problem too. Matter of fact, the last time I had that unit, that hunt, I went to go use that call right when I needed it the most.
Mm-hmm. And it froze up on
me. And it was all, it sounded like a dying freaking goose coming out of it. I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I had that happen.
That's
too.
Why I stopped carrying it. Because I'm the same with you. I love it. Because it's a different sounding.
It works.
It's like very, like,
it's like, yeah, but really, you could make it sound so high.
Yeah.
Or you could do really, really low. You could sound like a small little calf.
I still got it in.
I love that damn thing.
I still have one, but because I had Luca blowing on it last year.
But you like bite on it and it does it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy like three or four and
just have a bunch of shit.
I don't give a shit. I don't care. Because if it works, I need it to work.
Yeah.
And if one's not working, I need a switch. That's my game plan for next year.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, we were on bulls every day. I don't wanna say what happened. Oh, here, I'll even say what happened. I don't care, because he's not going to care. I mean, it's same scenario. Anthony Stallone, what happened? So it wasn't me. It was my buddy, Chris. Mm-hmm. He, on the third day, he goes and calls in a bull 25 yards, quartering towards him, basically shoots him money. Like, you could see the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But
no penetration.
He got This is what happened. Exactly what happened to you.
Oh, okay.
As he shot, the elk took one extra step.
Okay.
Okay. So it, but it didn't look like it went far back, but it was.
It doesn't have to be that when it's windy. When a quartering two,
yeah,
a little bit's a lot.
Yeah. So that's what happened, and he knew it.
Yeah.
And it went through. You know, it looks like a perfect, like if it was broadside, it would have been perfect. Like it would have been done in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. but it went through and it, and he couldn't find the arrow. So he thought it was stuck inside the elk.
Right.
But 5 days later, when we found the elk, mm-hmm. he looked for it for 4 days, 4 days. He never stopped. And then, I forgot. Well, maybe it was the 6th day or 5th day, whatever it was.
Yeah, you found it, right?
Well,
your
Jason buddy. Found it. My yeah. buddy, he found it. So he goes, "Oh, there's a fox." He goes, "There's a fox." I'm like, "Oh, stop! I got the FX. Let me call. Maybe I call him back."
Yeah.
And then I'm looking. I'm like, "That's not a fox. That's a coyote." Mm-hmm. So I'm like, "All right. So let me see if I can call the coyote back." The coyote just never came back. But we were doing like a sequence of like, right. I stood there for 5 minutes. We were already dead. We didn't hear nothing that morning.
Yeah.
It was dead. So he goes, "Hey, I think that's Chris's elk right there." And I peek over because I was in the bushes. Mm-hmm. And I peek over and there's an elk just laying right down, right in the center of the freaking thing that we walked by. There's no way that this elk died there. 100%. It died there, but I'm saying like it must have been alive up on the top somewhere and just been waiting. But the coyotes must have pushed him down, because I have, if you see my walking, because I tracked where we him and I were, like, because I went, Jason had to go and do something with the trailer. Mm-hmm. So I went to go help out Chris mm-hmm. for like 3 or 4 hours. It was like from, I don't know, say 11 o'clock to like 3 o'clock or something like that. I was helping him out. We went. He wanted somebody that could really know what they were doing.
Right.
Track blood, whatever. But they lost blood real quick. Now we know why.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. So I called him up. And he, man, he was tearing, man. And I'm like, "Welcome to my world." This is not the first time that this happened. But I will never forget that. I mean, this hunt was unreal. Like I said, every day. And we're not talking about little bulls. Mm-hmm. Giants. So there was one. Hey, I don't know if you, do you want me to get into this one? This is like one of the best. So there was this one bull. And you usually call these bulls pussy bulls. Okay. Yeah. Same scenario. I got within like 20 yards of his cows. I try every freaking call. I tried the Joel Turner freaking the bulls calling, whatever. I've
bull
tried
calling, yeah.
But listen to me, I tried challenging the son of a bitch. I tried every I can't tell you.
That the day you called me?
Yes, probably. Five times. I kept on, and the cows didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And he kept on taking. He had two cows that were like probably hot mm-hmm. that were exactly with where he was, mm-hmm. but we couldn't get any closer.
Right, because of the other
ones. And these other cows would like mill around us and whatnot. So Chris, he wasn't hearing any elk that day. I'm like, "Listen, we got this bull." I'm like, "Come with us. Mm-hmm. Come to me." And I'm like, "So you guys could both go." And Jason didn't care if he shot.
Yeah, even because, though because you can only shoot 25 yards.
Yeah. So he's like, "If you get a shot, go ahead and take it." So, but Chris was like determined to get Jason a freaking bull himself. Like, he's like, "No, this is your bull." I'm like, "All right, listen, I'm going to, every time I called he would always answer. He never not answer. If I was from far, he'd always answer me." Mm-hmm. I said, "Listen, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to call from here. I'm not going to move from here."
Yeah.
I said, "You guys sneak in and get on his side and crawl in. And then once you get close enough, then challenge him or try to shoot him in his bed," because I knew he was sitting in his bed.
Right.
So sure enough, I had it on a stopwatch. Every 5 minutes I would call so that they would know where he was at. Mm-hmm. Probably an hour and a half went by. They finally got to him. He texts me. He's like, "All right, we're in position." He goes, "I'm going to start raking a tree." I said, "Okay." I said, "Go ahead." I said, "I'll call every 5 minutes." I said, "I'm going to call one more time right now just to make sure that he goes, we're close." Mm-hmm. So he was 50 yards from this bull. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're 50 yards from the bull, and but it's pretty thick in this area that we were at. And so he goes, I'm gonna send Jason like 20 more yards up ahead of me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna start raking the tree and calling him in. He starts raking the tree, and the other bull comes unglued. I wish I would have freaking videotaped this from my side, I was hearing everything.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm so stupid. I did kind of video a little bit of it, mm-hmm. but I'm hearing the whole interaction go down. And Chris knows how to, like, he knows how to challenge. He knows how to do it really right. well. And he's beating the crap out of this tree, and this freaking bull is getting so angry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going back, and then he's challenging him. He's challenging him. And I'm like, it's happened. Like, it's going off. Like, but when the hell is this? When am I going to hear the, know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm probably 150, 200 yards away from where they're at.
So you're not going to hear, probably not going to hear the arrow, but okay, yeah.
But I was going to hear something happen.
Yeah.
And all I know is that I hear, and they're like challenging, breaking branches and this and that. And then I hear the bull like 100 yards from them. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, so I went to them. He's like, he got up from his bed,
mm-hmm.
started coming right at him. He needed to take two more steps and Jason would have had a shot, but he never took those two steps. He was like beating the crap out of a tree,
uh-huh.
and he just wouldn't take those extra two steps. Oh my God. He said that was the most epic. I could see with Jason's eyes, like, he's like, I can't believe this was happening. You know what I mean? And he said that was probably the best part of the whole entire trip was that interaction. And that was, whatever, 5 days earlier, before we found Chris's bull.
Right, right.
So Chris shot the bull the next day.
Okay.
So Chris hadn't shot a bull yet. This is how far early in the hunt this was.
Yeah.
So whatever. We end up getting back on that bull that night, and I got video of it. Chris almost got a shot at him at 60 yards. If Chris would have came to me, he had to take four steps towards me and kneel down,
mm-hmm.
he would have got a shot at 30 yards. That's how close I was.
Shit.
But Chris couldn't have a shot. He was next to me. He was like maybe 10 yards next to me,
mm-hmm.
10 yards away from me on my left. But he had no shot because he was staring at the trees. And I'm like, I'm telling him to come to me. I'm like, but he wasn't like understanding what the hell I wanted him to do. If he was standing where I was, all he had to do was kneel down and shoot. And this bull was like clueless. Like, he knew we were there, but he didn't know. I just don't know. Like, he was just feeding.
Yeah.
Courting away from us. And I'm like, oh my God, if I had the bull right now. My God. And that was the same bull. So I got on that bull probably like three or four other times, another 3 days. And then the last day, oh my God. Jason couldn't take it anymore, man. His feet were killing him. I killed him. Like,
yeah, you guys were
miles on. So we didn't hear anything that the last day. It was a Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was, because he had to go to work, and I had to go back to work. So we didn't hear anything up until 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock comes, we go into this other area, and from 1 o'clock to like whatever. Till dusk, 6:15, whatever it is, whatever time it was,
mm-hmm.
we were on bulls after bull after bull, and not just one bull, like multiple bulls. Cows were just talking, like at least probably 10 of them were in estrus because you could hear like, everybody had their girls, and everybody was like surrounding us, and I'd tell him run up. He run and he get busted by another bull. I'd run up. One of the ones that happened,
mm-hmm.
I start raking this tree and he's like 10 yards ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
I start raking this tree and I let out, like I was African. I was like having sex with one.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, maybe like 30 of them start running towards us to see what was going on. But they were just out of his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come, just please, just come to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were 40 yards. They couldn't get a shot.
This is not a good state for tread hunting.
Oh. But in, elk. You don't understand. This area that I went to, I'm thick. Telling you, it was thick.
Oh, okay.
And it was good. Like, it reminded me of Unit 10. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay.
If I tell you where I was at, then, you'd understand. Okay. So, but did you hear what happened to me?
With the, when you walk, you just called and 3 seconds later?
No. All right. So check this out.
Whatever.
This is the first time in my life that this ever happened to me. And I never want it to ever happen again.
Okay.
And Jason will say it's the funniest thing that ever happened in his life. But I don't know if I told you this.
No, you didn't.
All right. So check this out. I'm getting chills. Just about to tell you this. So we get to this spot.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hey, I want you to be at this tree 40 yards away. And I'm going to be inside this, like, it was like a little enclosement with a couple of trees, but a lot of bushes. So nothing could see me. Mm-hmm. So I have the FX with me. So I'm going to act like I'm meeting and beating the crap out of a tree. I just wanted to do like a cold sequence, you know, with, what's his name's,
calling sequence. Yeah. Breeding sequence.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Paul Modell's thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to do everything possible to get this thing done.
Right.
So I get a spot. I'm like, I feel that they're elk right here. You know, I felt it. So I get to this spot and I'm like, all right, I'm going to start. So I start just, you know, doing all the calls.
You're doing cold calling right now.
Yeah. Just doing little calls. And I'm like, you know what? After like a minute of calling, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start like raking a tree, but I couldn't find the freaking stick.
That's why people make fun of me for carrying that shit around.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't find one. And that was weird because
you never find a good stick when you need it.
Oh, they're always breaking in my hand.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, oh, let me just, I see the tree, you know, dead on the ground. And I grab the branch and I break it off. Mm-hmm. I snap the thing off and I start beating the crap out of this freaking tree. Yeah. On the third freaking like whack,
yeah,
I'm getting attacked by
bees.
Not bees. Oh, I didn't thought it was. I think they were freaking hornets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought they were bees.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, boom! They're in my face, on my hands, shooting in my chest. I'm getting everywhere, and I'm trying to scream. I'm like, and when I was trying to scream, run, one fucking goes in my mouth.
Oh, shit the fuck.
I swear to God. And I'm throwing my hands up because I'm trying to tell him, get the fuck out of there, because right. I'm like,
yeah.
And we're not too far from the truck. We're probably like 200 yards from the from the Jeep.
Yeah.
And in my mouth, and I freaking grab it and I take it out of my mouth and I'm running to the truck. My hands are freaking going up and I'm like, run. And he starts running back to the truck and I must have got 15, maybe 18
stings.
My face, my hands, my chest. They were going inside my bino pack. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Let me tell you something.
That almost happened to us too. I'll tell you after.
So, what was going through my head was Uncle Luigi, yeah. Like what happened to him, but I didn't know it was hornets. I thought it was bees because I'm getting hit like crazy. Uh-huh. So I'm like, because he's got the keys to the truck. I'm like, open the Jeep. And I'm like flaring my hands just to get them off of me, and they're stinging me. I'm like taking my hands and getting the ones that are on my face. And we get in the Jeep and some of them inside the Jeep now.
Yeah.
And he's like getting them out and stuff like that. I left the freaking call.
Oh.
I left both my calls. I dropped the reed and my calls were there. And I had already started the call, you know, it was like a light thing.
That's what made them come out, I guarantee you.
Oh my God. And he is fucking, he laughs about everything, but he's like, that is the funniest shit in the world, man. He was
having, funny to talk about now.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, man, I was laughing too afterwards, but I'm like, all I was thinking about was him. I didn't want him to get. Yeah. Also, I thought I was honestly, man.
You thought you were dead?
Not that I thought I was dead, but I thought I was going to be hurting way worse than I did. I mean, I got, like I said, about 15 to 18 stings, but I didn't know that they're stinging me multiple times. It wasn't 15 or 18 of them. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
There was probably like seven of them or eight of them that were attacking me. Right. But then we could see around there, though, there were a bunch of them like just flaring around. So I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I got the damn call there. So we waited like a half hour. My face is on fire. My chest is on fire. My hands, I mean, they got me good.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. I'm like, listen, I'm not leaving here. I got to go get that. I said, I'm going to drive the Jeep up to this thing and I'm going to run and get him, get it and jump out. He goes, listen, I'm going to do you this solid. He goes, I'm going to get out of the Jeep. So I pull up the Jeep and I'm like, he goes, because you know, when they have the pheromones, whatever, yeah. freaking, like they know who you are now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, they haven't touched me yet.
Yeah.
He goes, so they don't know me yet. He goes, I probably have a better chance.
Right.
So I drove the Jeep up. I mean, we're like kind of like scratching the Jeep a little bit to get to this thing, but we drove up. He goes, all right, I'm going to jump out, get the freaking door, close the door, and then open it when I come back in.
Yeah.
He didn't get one sting out of him. He got my call and everything, but wow, what an experience. I thought, I'm like, after the mountain lion, now I'm going to die with freaking bees. Oh my God. Oh, that's this unreal.
That's crazy. So I don't know how many bees. They're like the meat bees, you know, the meat bees, the ones that like when you start gutting shit, they're like
eat the freaking meat.
So I don't know if there was a hornets or whatever, but we call them meat bees. Everywhere. I mean, everywhere in Colorado. Everywhere. And we had heard some calls. We had heard some cow calls. So we're like kind of walking down this trail and Jermaine steps on a log. The whole freaking swarm comes out of the freaking.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh fuck, we're all running. But they never came after us.
Oh, you got lucky.
I was like, oh shit.
I was running as fast as possible. How many it's happened to me a couple times now.
Well, it happened to me with the Africanized bees over here calling coyotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So scary shit.
I'm not messing around. I remember Uncle Luigi having it all on his face, his gloves, and he got stung bad. So I was like waiting for the whole thing to come to my face.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was kind of happy that there were hornets instead of freaking bees. But oh, that shit hurt.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
I bet.
But I thought I'd tell you a funny story.
That's a good one. Well. Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get Jermaine on. He texted me his meeting ran over. So I'm going to do one with him tomorrow. If you're around, stop by. Because I would really like to do that, pick apart the hunt thing.
Yeah.
And
if I'm able to, I'll come. Actually, Bowhunters of America just contacted me. They wanted me to go do the podcast on Friday. Actually, I can't come tomorrow. I got to take somebody shooting. Sorry. I'm helping out a friend. He's having problems with this gun. I'm actually having problems with my own gun.
Yeah.
On my 6.5 PRC, I cannot get a load. I've done this long enough.
Just take the 300.
I know, but I want to.
I know you.
I built the gun for this hunt. I want to make it mine.
Sell it to somebody else.
No. No, but we'll get it. We'll get it going. I just got to tweak this load. But thanks for having me on, Johnny. It was good always talking to you. I'm glad I got to hear the story.
Yeah.
I'm sad about the meat.
I've been waiting to tell it. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for checking out the show. Really appreciate you. Keep those reviews and those comments coming. Helps us keep this free. Do me a favor, go check out Phoenix Shooting Bags. Use promo code John Stallone to save 20%, all one word. And check out Howl for Wildlife. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the next show.